We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special carpaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
I sent out the tweet just to make it official. We do have Sal at Sal Sports in studio with us right now till 9 o'clock. Let's get you headlines if you're just waking up. Hi, it's Tuesday, and the Sabres play tonight against the Islanders, 7 o'clock at KeyBank Center. The Islanders, yowzer, 19-4-2 in their last 25 games. They lead the league in goals against average. They have the lowest goals against average in the league. They are 7-1-1 in the last nine road games. They have the best 5-on-5, 4-and-against ratio in the NHL, so yeah, they're good. We'll have that game for you here on WGR beginning at 6 with the pregame show. Pittsburgh won last night. That's not good. The Penguins beat Philadelphia, so they have 65 points. They're in the number two wild card spot, 4 ahead of the Sabres, 3 ahead of the Hurricanes. Carolina, by the way, plays tonight in Ottawa. The Caps won last night, beat the Kings 6-4. The Browns have signed Kareem Hunt, who was let go by Kansas City after an off-field incident and video of him kicking a woman. It's entirely possible. They signed him to a one-year deal. It's entirely possible, and I think expected, that the league will suspend him at some point, discipline him at some point. Kyler Murray says, baseball? Mm-mm, not right now. He's pursuing football, and he will be at the Combine later this month, along with our very own Sal Capaccio, by the way. College basketball, the UB Bulls drop a couple spots down to 25th in the AP poll. They are at Akron tonight. And news from the NBA? James Harden did it again. He scored 30 or more points for the 30th straight game. And Russell Westbrook set an NBA record with his 10th straight triple-double. Those are your headlines. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. So rather than me sit here and tell you, look out the window and do the old eyewitness weather routine, you just drove in to our wonderful studios here in Amherst. What's going on out there?
Well, it was, I live in the city. It wasn't too bad. The only thing I will say, it was, I had to do a little bit of scraping. I shouldn't say scraping, but, you know, wait for the windshield because it was hailing. It was more like a freezing rain, a hail. So I had to make sure that I covered my head a little bit because it started to hit my head. I'm not trying to be funny, but the hail hurt my head a little bit. It was coming down.
My goodness, there's bruising.
And as I got in my car, it wasn't bad. The roads weren't bad at all. But as I got closer, it did get a little slick out there as I came off the 290. And then I got onto on a Maple, it was a little bit slick, and I actually, one red light, I did slide a little bit, just tiny. So, so you got to be careful out there. Like I said, if you're bald like me, cover your head, because if it's hailing, that does wind up hurting a little bit. The good news is, I did read that it's going to snow tomorrow.
What's snow?
I don't know. What's snow with you, Howard? I've been waiting for that joke on the radio for about 25 years. I just wanted to tell you. I finally got it in at 7 o'clock in the morning on February 12, 2019.
That was so bad, I'm turning your microphone to half level.
I honestly, and I'm all for bad humor, I honestly would not have gotten it. However, I would have thought, okay, snow with what comment? It's not sleet, it's not rain. And yeah, maybe I would have said what's snow eventually. But I actually saw that joke on a Family Guy rerun last night. So what snow was in my head.
I had no idea that would be on any sort of rerun. I thought it was my original only joke that no one would ever use in this world.
Or maybe it was Drew Carey's show. I don't know. Whatever. Some show that I was watching last night, some comedy, and they said, Snoo, what's Snoo? And you pulled it out this morning.
I just figured there's families driving kids to school in the morning. A little humor for everybody out there this morning. What's to do with you?
I don't know. So apparently that sleet banging into your brain.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, a little.
In all seriousness, just be a little careful. I don't know, like I said, how bad it's going to get, but it did get worse when I went got from the city to Amherst. Yeah. As I went from the city to Amherst.
So where is your Sabres playoff chances meter right now on a scale of 1 to 10?
I mean, I love how you ask Brayton, and he's got to break it down through sports club stats and say, well, because they say this, I'll say it's a 3. I'm going by the percentages. I thought a three also even before he did that, though. I mean, to me, it's about 30%. I mean, the thing is that the wild card, the X factor here is what they do at the deadline and what other teams do at the deadline. Does Columbus sell off Bobrovsky and Panarin, right? I mean,
that'd be a big issue.
Would lessen them. What happens? Does Florida take them on? Do they trade Huberto, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen, including with the Sabres.
Huberto was added to the TSN trade bait list today.
Well, here's the reason, I think, right?
Or
I
yesterday.
Mean, think about it. There's a lot of rumors swirling around them acquiring Panarin and Bobrovsky. Mm-hmm. Like, they apparently want them.
Right.
If they do that, they can't afford all that. They're going to have to spin someone, and he seems to be the likely candidate with the money he's making and what you could get. So would he go back to Columbus? Would it be him going somewhere else? I don't know how, you know, they would do that.
It's funny. They could, you know, they had been mentioned with Bobrovsky for sure, that they were thinking about trading for him rather than wait into free agency because they could then give him a max 8-year contract. Panarin would be interesting because, you know, I don't think if, by the way, and this is a big if Columbus wants to trade either or both of those guys, or they just want to have him stick around and do everything they can to make the playoffs and try and put a run together. If Columbus ends up moving Panarin, the team that's trading for him has to be a team that's thinking you can convince this guy to sign with you, I would think. I mean, that's a pretty expensive rental, I guess. What would you be giving up to get Panarin for, you know, a couple of months in your playoff run if you think he's not going to re-sign with us next season? Now, Florida is reportedly one of the destinations where he would be willing to go if he gets to free agency.
I think that you have to have some sort of dialogue with the agent or have permission to do that.
Which they have not been allowing teams to do.
Right. So in some way, though, come on now.
All right. There's back channels. You have to have
some sort of inclination that he's willing to sign there. I agree. I don't think that you... This is not a team that's suddenly taking these guys on because they're going to Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if that was the case, that'd be a little bit different. If you're just going for it and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go for it. So I think you'd have to have some sort of idea that one or both would stick around with you.
Yeah. 803-0550. I think with the Sabres, Sal, I was talking about this last hour. I said four. I mean, I think it's tough to be optimistic at this point. I'm honestly a little surprised they're still in the race with as inconsistent as they have been, you know, for the last, well, really almost 2 months now. If you go back to the end of November when the win streak ended, it's so hard to say they're going to stay in the race when they literally can't win two games in a row.
Yep.
I mean, that's really... To go 2 months without, at some point, and this includes anything, this could include overtime, it could include shootout, to go 2 months without winning two games in a row is really bad. And if you actually want to go back, if you want to just include regulation wins only, you got to go back to late October to find the last time they did that back-to-back. They had three straight wins. To me, that's the big issue. I can tell you about the secondary scoring is better. We can talk about how, yeah, you know, the defense has been bad. The goaltenders haven't played as well. The bottom line is, you want to stay in this race or get back into a wild card spot, you got to string wins together, and they literally can't do that.
No,
they're up and down. They're a roller coaster ride.
I'm disappointed that we're even here. I think I'm not telling you that I had these high expectations that they're going to be comfortably in a playoff spot.
Sure,
but Howard, it has been 8 years. Okay, we are halfway almost to what the Bills drought was.
I was going to try and tell you it's not as bad as the Bills drought, but you already cut to the chase there. Yeah.
And look, I've made this point a few times since when I was on Saturdays and stuff that it's been half a decade since they had the number two pick with Sam Reinhart, and only 1 year beyond that, 4 years, since they had the number two pick with Jack Eichel. All right? I'm sorry. This team needs to be better than what it was. And we had a lot of talk. I'm not even telling you, oh my God, I can't believe they tanked, whatever. We had that discussion back then. Mm-hmm. They did it. The plan was to get these high-level draftable players. They got them. Now you're here. The plan to me was never, maybe it was to other people out there, that you're going to take 4 years or 5 years to make the freaking playoffs. Much less compete for a Stanley Cup. Right. When they bottomed out, fans who were very supportive of it, fans who even just tolerated, who weren't supportive of it, most people said, hey, at least they're going to contend for something in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
You know what they're contending for in 4 or 5 years? No playoffs again. And I'm quite frankly pretty ticked about that.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I saw an article today, maybe I think it was at Sportsnet. Somebody did a piece about how the Oilers are wasting Connor McDavid. And I'm waiting for the same article to be written about the team here. I mean, you've got Jack Eichel, and you even now have Rasmus Dahlin. And what are you doing with this stuff?
At what point are they no longer young? At what point are they no longer young and should be expected to win? Because I find there are plenty of fans who are, oh my gosh, like, this is ridiculous, get to the playoffs. But I think there are too many people out there who are so used to next year, we're young, that it just becomes a regular fallback excuse to be okay with. I'm not okay with it anymore. I'm just not. There's nothing I can do about it. The reality is what the reality is. They are where they are, and I'm not telling you that, oh my God, they need to go buy up all these parts and just to make the playoffs. I'm not telling you that. But I am telling you that this is getting really ridiculous to have to sit here and talk about the same thing for the last 3-4 years, young. They're going to be good next year. You got these guys in the farm. At this point, trade Gooley, trade Nylander. I'm not telling you to go trade Reinhardt or Jack Eichel or Rasmus Österlind, nothing like that.
Right.
But these other little pieces that are supposed to be up here helping, Mike made a great point about Gooley a couple weeks ago. He said, I either want him here or trade it for something. I'm there with Nylander. I'm there with him.
Yeah. I don't think there's any piece not here that you'd say, well, you can't move that prospect. There's nothing. I don't think there's a single thing that Jason Bottrell would look at, nor should he, and say, when a team calls, you can't have that. That would be Eichel and Dahlin, maybe Mittelstadt, but I mean, I don't know if there's anybody elsewhere in the organization where you would just hang up the phone and not talk to a GM. Anything's available right now. Again, that's not selling. That's hockey trade. To make your team better, if you think you need to get it, you can get your hands on a number two center with term. If you think you can get a top four defenseman, which you would need with term,
But
you are bringing in an asset. You're not just giving away futures and not having anything to show for it.
Like you said, it's not a garage sale. But it's still selling because if you are in a playoff spot, you're not doing that.
So you
have to change your thinking of, I'm going to sell this piece, whereas you wouldn't if you were 10 points better.
Well, if you're in a playoff spot, you might get rid of futures for a rental. You might look at it and go get a rental guy because
that'd be buying.
Yeah,
I'm saying if you're gonna spin a Reinhardt right now, you only do it because of where you are. You're not doing it if you're sitting where the Islanders are for sure, maybe where Pittsburgh is.
Right. Unless, to me, that is
selling still.
Well,
you're selling because you don't. There's no reason. You're still building for the future.
Sure.
Yes, it's a hockey trade more in the sense of you're getting guys, but you're selling.
It's funny. Yeah, you're right. I just think of selling. Right, you're just got to get rid of pieces. You know, it's hockey trades or it's trades of guys that you look at and go, Gergensen's, is he going to be here beyond this season? Do you need to keep Larson beyond this season? Nobody would want Sobotka back beyond this season. Could you get someone to take a Poso's contract off your hands? So yeah, it is selling. You'd essentially be saying, I've got a plan. These guys aren't in it long term, so let me see what I can get for them.
Right. I just. The tenor has to change depending on where you are. And again, I'm not telling you that, oh my God, Jason Bottrell, do whatever you have to make the playoffs, but it is important to me still. They are 4 points back. I'd like to see that. I understand the reality of it, though. I'm not going to be super mad if he doesn't do that and says, hey, well, this is who we are and where we are. I just think that it's become, whether it's from the organization itself or fans or us here or whoever it is, it's the same refrain it has been for 4 years, 5 years since all this started, and they should be better than that by now.
I think there is pressure on Bottrell, and it's funny, as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline, I've been thinking all along, I've been fully expecting a trade or trades and moves for him that would make, we think, this team better. Not, Larson for a draft pick or Gergensen's for a mid-round draft pick, whatever. Not window dressing. Moves that would make the team better. And yet, as time goes by and we get now 13 days away from the trade deadline, I'm beginning to think he's going to let this thing play out. Like, if he does do something, it is, hey, Beaulieu wants to go play somewhere. He's just an extra defenseman here. We'll trade him for what?
Right.
I don't know, a fourth round pick, fifth round pick, whatever. I feel like he's not going to, he's just going to let this play out. Maybe they bring up a guy or two from Rochester at some point, and that's how the season is going to go. And for me, that would be depressing because I think you have the chance to make this team better now. You need to make this team better now. You shouldn't just wait to the offseason and say, we're going to make moves in the summer. Why not make this team better now when you're in the throes of a playoff race, when you're, quote, in the hunt in a playoff race? And that's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch.
He's in a tough spot. He's also, almost anything he does could be okay, right? Because he could say, if they're 4 points back, or 5 points back at the deadline, he could say, look, I mean, we're not going to make it. I'm going to be smart here. And he could wind up, you know, selling a couple pieces to get even more assets. And I think a lot of people would be okay with that. I think it'd be right to be, okay, you could do that. He also could say, look, it's been 8 years. I'm not going to give everything away that's young or draft picks, but I'd like to try and make a run at this thing.
Right.
And I think that people would be okay with that, and you'd had a little bit of energy in the last month and a half to try and, you know, get into the playoffs.
Yeah, it gets to the point of, look, I mean, draft picks, whatever. You want to trade two of your three first-round picks? Fine. I don't necessarily need to be married to the draft picks. And it does get to, is there anybody in Rochester who's a guarantee? Is there a coveted prospect that this organization looks at and says, we cannot move these guys? And, Brayton, this is where you can hop in. I don't think there is. If there is, who's the guy? Who would be the coveted prospect that Jason Bottrell would not have a conversation about? Anybody in Rochester?
In Rochester, no.
Olofsson? I mean, it's not.
And Olofsson would be maybe the top of the list there, right? But
is that a guy who you don't take a phone call on? I don't think there's anybody on that
list.
Well,
how do you count? I don't count Pilot as a Rochester guy. But
no, he's here.
But I think Pilot is one of those guys that you...
But he's not going anywhere.
That's right.
Like, I'm talking about guys that aren't here. Guys that you would, quote, be counting on to make this team better. Not a trade.
Right.
But an in-organization asset that makes this team better and is a big part of their future. I don't think there's anybody on that list.
Maybe Luukkonen.
Okay, I always forget Luukkonen. But honestly, I look at it and go, you know, I mean, Ullmark's okay. Yeah, I don't think as much about Luukkonen because that's, what, 3 years down the road? I mean, he's not here next season. He's not having an impact in the next year or maybe two. So I don't really think about Luukkonen. It's got to be someone who, this season, they decide to call up. Or, you know, they're looking at going, well, okay, he's in Rochester now, but man, next season, this guy is here coming out of training camp, and he's going to have an impact on the 2019-2020 season. We just have to be patient to wait for him. There's nobody, right, that you'd say, lock him in, don't sweat it. This guy is going to come up from Rochester, and he's a lock. Because, you know, well, yeah, I mean, Pilot, if Pilot was still in Roch, maybe that's the guy we'd be talking about. Maybe Olofsson. And that's part of my frustration with Jason Bottrell. You know, if he doesn't make a move by the end of the deadline, February 25th, it's frustrating to say, don't sweat it, guys. Someone will be up from Rochester, and maybe the guy will turn out to be something in the final month of the season.
And that's why, going back to the point, like I, and I, like Mike said, and I agree, I mean, a guy like Gooley, like at what point do you say, it's no longer about next year, it's about he's not going to make it, and we got to find something to do here. And I'll say that about Nylander now. And Nylander's in that boat. I know he's still young.
I don't even think of him anymore. I really
don't.
Well,
then give him a change of scenery. Yeah. You know what, Howard? Here's the thing. If he gets traded and becomes a really good player, I'm okay with that. It just wasn't going to work here. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes the player needs a wake-up call. You need a change of scenery. You need a different environment, different teammates around you, different coaching, whatever it is. Because if they do make a trade like that and he becomes good, you know what? We're going to get the calls. Yeah. I can't believe they let that guy go. Look. It's the same. I got it again last night. Someone tweeted me about, well, you know, they had Sammy and Woods, and it's always in Marquise Goodwin, and they let him go. And my response always is, you didn't want Marquise Goodwin.
Right, because he couldn't stay healthy.
He couldn't stay healthy.
Right.
Now, there are some people out there who did.
Didn't want Sammy because he couldn't stay
That's
on
right.
the field.
There are some people out there who did. But spare me, oh, they let Marquise Goodwin walk two years later after pretty much, I would say, 90% of the fan base just wanted that guy gone off the roster. You can't have it both ways, and you can't have revisionist history like that. And to me, that would be like Nylander. Not that saying that people want Nylander gone, but if he goes away and becomes a good player, at this point, I'm okay if you're trying to improve your team because it's not going to work here, it seems like.
Well, the Nylander discussion, as I said, and Brayton, you can hop in because you've been watching Rochester all season. The Nylander discussion for me is, you know, this is to your point about being patient and waiting. And I don't know how much longer do I need to hear, well, Nylander still needs time, he's young. And maybe they jumped the gun. Maybe he shouldn't have been in Rochester a couple of years ago. But the point is, he's out of sight, out of mind. I mean, there's nothing, right? You tell me, Brayton, there's nothing at this point that suggests that Nylander has flourished to the point where, yep, he's going to be a factor next season here.
Not at this point, no.
So that's why I don't even think about him as a prospect anymore.
Right. It's just...
So why not trade him?
It's a really difficult situation just because he was set back so far because he was poorly mismanaged the way he was. And maybe that's a sign of, you know, Jason Bottrell maybe wanting to change over things from the Tim Murray area. Maybe he is looking to trade a guy like Gouley. Maybe he's looking to trade guys like Nylander because those are his picks. Those are Murray's picks. It's not his picks. It's not his guy. Mm-hmm. So maybe those guys are options that he can move. Now, granted, Olofsson's not a Bottrell pick. He was one of Murray's first picks. However, he seems like he's a guy that has been able to develop into something nice for them, and they've been able to build a good rapport with the Jason Bottrell regime, it seems mm-hmm. like.
To me, there's always going to be Nylanders. You always have guys like that somewhere. Whether you draft them in the first round, they have three first-round picks. You always seem to have guys like that anyway. So why do you hold on to something for so long that just doesn't seem like it's, and I'm sorry to pick on him, but he's the best example of this. They're just guys like that all the time.
I think, I don't know what they're thinking, but I would surmise that they still believe he has ability, he has skill, he has talent, he's still, quote, young. We're trying to develop that, so we're not going to give up on him. And there, I mean, it is important for Bottrell, I think, patterning things after what happened with what he was in Pittsburgh, you know, build up Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, get a really successful minor league team. Those guys get used to winning down there. We don't have to rush them too early to Pittsburgh because we're really good with the big club, but we develop them, they win, they come up in time, and they're good with us. And I think he's trying to follow that model, and that model would include let Olofsson stay down there, let Nylander develop, let Gouley develop, let, you know, well, C.J. Smith is up here. Let a lot of these guys develop as much as possible in Rochester, and hopefully they'll be ready eventually.
It's a lot easier to do that when you have Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, and then when those guys come up, they look a lot better in the parent team's uniform.
There's not as much pressure on them when they come up from the American Hockey League. Could you have
established stars? And they play different roles, and they don't, that's right.
Right. So when Jake Guentzel comes up, you're not sitting there going, hey, carry the franchise. You know, you just fit in and, you know, play well with Crosby or Malkin or whoever or Kessel or whatever you got up there. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Sal is in studio with us till 9 o'clock. Phil Housley coming up in a moment. We are talking Sabres playoff chances meter. Yeah, scale of 1 to 10. Where's your Sabres playoff chances meter right now? You can let us know at 803-0550. I promised you we would get to some football. I will. We will with Sal because I want to talk about his article that is now available for you to read at WGR550.com. The top free agent wide receivers out there. Some names I think of interest to Bills fans. We'll get to that as well. We also have our roast coming up February 28th, 2 weeks from Thursday. I hope you got your tickets. If you haven't, you can still get them for a night filled with great hockey stories and laughter and fun and terrific food, and you could bid on some really cool autographed memorabilia in the silent auction. Be there to see Danny Gare get roasted at the Grapevine Banquets in Depew. We'll all be on hand for that February 28th. Dave Schultz, Lou Piccone, Maury Gare, Rene Robert will be up there roasting Danny. And if you're a hockey fan, it's one of those nights you're going to want to be there to hear all the great stories that are going to be told. So all you need to do to get tickets is go to our website, WGR550.com. You can get individual tickets. You can get the VIP experience tickets. Whatever you need, it's available for you. Our celebrity roast of Danny Gare is presented by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, by Liberty Cab, and by Dr. Beyer Optical Group. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer, and with support from Bud Light.
Time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, Sabres head coach Phil Housley joins Howard Simon and Jeremy White. Phil Housley's appearance on WGR is brought to you by Paul William Belch, your power of attorney, by Falls View Casino Resort, Niagara Falls, Canada, and by AXA Advisors. Take the next step for your financial future today.
Jeremy is off today. He's back on Thursday. Sal Capaccio in studio. We'll be chatting with Phil Housley in a moment. His team plays the Islanders tonight, 7 o'clock at KeyBank Center. We have you covered here on WGR, beginning at 6 with the pregame show. Pittsburgh won last night. That's not good. The Penguins now have 65 points. They are in the number 2 wildcard spot. Carolina has 62. They're playing tonight in Ottawa, and the Sabres have 61. Cleveland Browns signed Kareem Hunt to a one-year contract, and Kyler Murray says he will pursue football instead of baseball with the Oakland A's. UB drops two spots, 25th in the AP Top 25, and they are at Akron tonight. Those are your headlines. Next update coming up at 8 o'clock on our Wester Hotline. Standing by is Sabres coach Phil Housley. Phil, it's Howard and Sal. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
Phil, the defensive effort, there was a lot of focus on that. Obviously, after the Carolina game, it was much better against Detroit and in defeat with the game against Winnipeg. What were you guys able to do over the weekend in those two games that, as a team, you had not been doing?
Well, I think we just did a really good job in front of our net. And, you know, I thought Carolina had, you know, too many opportunities in the zone one area, and we didn't do a good job of protecting that area. We focused on that on Friday. I thought we had a terrific effort against Detroit, giving, you know, not giving them a, you know, giving up one even strength goal in the last two games is a good turnaround, and our guys made a really solid adjustment and really focused and had a conscious of really protecting our goalies.
When you were looking back at some of the defensive performances, and when I ask you about defense, Phil, I'm throwing everybody in, goalies, defensemen, forwards, because it is a team effort. And it goes back before this homestand where I think you were beginning to see some breakdowns and the goals against started going up. When you analyze some of that stuff, was there a theme? Is it missed assignments? Is it maybe guys weren't communicating as much? Is it decision-making in split seconds? Guys were making the wrong choices. What were you seeing?
Well, I think, first of all, it was just our puck management. You know, we were trying to force things weren't there, and then it comes back right at us. And then from that point, it was just the rush coverage, our communication within our in our D pairings with the low forward coming in, who to take. And then just overall in our D-zone coverage, there was a lot of plays made around our net. And the opposition was finding players that were open in front of our goalie. So it was a couple of things, just communication and just taking your check and trying to seal that off and kill a play. And there was some, you know, maneuvering within that where we weren't getting to our position. We were duplicating in our own zone, which always left an opponent open. I thought we did a really good job of identifying just coming back into our zone and then just doing your job mainly when it's called for you to, you know, close somebody quickly. I thought our guys did a really good job and were aggressive in that area.
When it comes to the goalies, now both guys bounced back this weekend, and Ullmark and Hutton both played well over the weekend, but their save percentages have both taken a hit, really going back to, say, the 1st of December, just after the winning streak ended. Do you think, has it been more a matter of we've needed them to come up and make the clutch save, and they haven't been able to do that, or do you think that maybe those guys were breaking down because of issues in front of them, that it was just too much on the goalies because of the problems in front of them?
Well, it's a couple things. It's just like you said. You know, we're asking our goalies in some of those games throughout December and even in you know, early February, just to do too much. I mean, you look at last game. Carter makes a big save on a breakaway. We just can't give those things up and expect our goaltender to bail us out all the time. With Linus again having a breakaway. In Detroit, we're in the third period. We can't allow that to happen. There's going to be times where the other team is going to have chances, and if we can, you know, clear the puck after that first chance and not allow any second or third opportunities, then we can ask our goaltenders to make those saves. But I think we were just giving up too much, too many grade A plus chances against, and we're asking our goaltenders to do a lot. And at certain times, those breakdowns have led to a lot of goals against. So, you know, you just got to reinforce what we have done in the past and our checking coming back into our end. And you have a responsibility when we don't have the puck to allow our goaltenders to make some saves.
Phil, I know the other night after you said that's Jason's job, it was maybe misinterpreted by some people. You've since clarified that. But I am curious, and I think fans are curious, how all that works between you and him as far as communication leading up to the deadline. If it's not within the organization, if it's an outside player, if, let's say, Jason Botterill gets a phone call from a general manager and says this player is available, does he go to you and say, how does he fit into your team? You know, what's the mechanics of that as far as your communication, as far as maybe bringing in someone outside the organization here?
Well, obviously, you know, Jason and I, you know, talk on a day-to-day basis about our team, you know, where can we improve, where do we find areas that we can make our team better. But for the most part, you know, his job is all the transactions that are coming in from Rochester and any movement. That's the clarification, and that's where I misunderstood the question. But we talk about our team on a day-to-day basis, and we have good communication, and, you know, we talk about a lot of things, not only players but other teams, and mostly focusing on our group here.
We're with Phil Housley, Sabres coach, on our West Her Hotline. You know, we were talking about defense a moment ago because that has been the focus. I think that's been the area, you know, the coaches have tried to clean up. The secondary scoring has been better. You know, if you look at guys like Pominville and Mittelstedt and Sherry, and certainly Rodriguez, Phil, even Oposo's got a few goals now. Seems like guys are beginning to chip in. With the second line of Sherry, Mittelstedt, Reinhardt, now that he's on that line, do you see enough in that line to say you feel like they can take up the role and be more of a consistent number two threat, since, you know, you guys have been searching for a good second line all season?
Well, I just like, you know, I like their chemistry right now. They've provided a big spark for us. They're attacking the game. It seems like they're reading off each other very well. They're getting opportunities, and they're not spending a lot of time in their own end, which is key, you know, when we're attacking the game. And they just seem to have they just seem to be in a good place right now with the way they're attacking off the rush in the offensive zone, the way they're cycling. And it has provided us with a big spark.
From a football guy here who covers a lot of football, Phil, I know that they always talk about a rookie wall. You know, guys playing more games they've ever played before. They get to November, December, their college season is normally over. Things start to drop off. You have a couple guys on your team, you know, Rasmus Dahlin. I know that it's a different situation, not, you know, American college, Casey Mittelstadt. But, you know, now they're getting to a point where this is a load for a lot of games. How do you feel that they've handled that, both physically and mentally? And going forward, how aware do you have to be of that?
Well, we have to manage the schedule. You know, we had, you know, 4 games in 6 days. We took a day off to try to, you know, reboot and get the energy. We'll get a pregame skate today, and then we're going to take another day off tomorrow because then we've got a next set of games coming up here in a short period of time. So we try to rest is really, really important at this time of year. And I think Casey and Rasmus, for that matter, have done a really good job of managing themselves away from the game, getting their rest, coming prepared. Casey is playing really strong right now. He's really playing a good, strong 200-foot game. And Rasmus is playing, I think he's played the best of the year in some of his games. And obviously it is. It's a tough grind. And these games are so meaningful right now. We don't want the players to, you know, taking the games home with them. It's hard. Because, you know, you want to do so well, and they're tremendous competitors, good teammates, and they want to win. But sometimes when it doesn't go your way, you can't take that with you. You got to reboot and get ready for the next game. And that's one of the areas that they are finding out and managing a little better. But it's tough when those guys, they feel they want, they're a big part of this group, and they want to do so well that sometimes it wears on them. And, you know, you can't take your last game into the next game. You got to refocus on the task at hand coming up tonight.
You know, you mentioned Rasmus, and he's part of that secondary scoring. He's got 11 points in his last 13 games, but he had a rough one against Winnipeg. You know, a couple points, plays at the point he couldn't keep in, some bad passes, some turnovers. How does he handle? It's rare, thankfully, that he has that kind of a day. How, at his age, Phil, does he handle those moments? Because I would tend to worry that as an 18-year-older playing, as much as he's playing in the NHL, you don't want him to get down on himself. Does he mentally bounce back from things like that pretty good?
Yeah, I think he does a terrific job. You know, he's a tremendous competitor. and he's his own worst critic. And sometimes he takes that stuff in, and because he wants to do the right thing, make the right play. And sometimes it just doesn't happen for you. And as a young player, that's part of the mental toughness part of the game, is just coming back, recognizing what happened, trying not to let that happen again, and so you can overcome those situations when you're faced with them again. But he's done a really good job of rebooting, and we're very well aware of where he is a player, and we've talked to him about his game. And but the thing is that you can't worry about what has happened in the past, and you can't carry that forward. You got to get ready for your next game, or your next practice for that matter, and just get refocused and play your game.
There's two guys I want to ask you before we let you go. One is Sobotka. He has not scored a goal in 39 games. Sometimes you give a guy a break when he's in that kind of a drought. How come you keep playing him?
Well, I think he's a really big reason why our penalty kill is where it is today. He does a terrific job in face-offs. He's been a key guy and a ingredient guy in a D-zone face-offs. I'll throw him out there, when we need a key face-off, and then he'll change and we'll get the forward out there, because I like to put two centermen out there at times, and it depends in the shift of where the other centermen are, if he's fresh. So he's done a lot of good things. He's a trustworthy, reliable player. That's some of the main reasons, and more importantly, is just our penalty kill. He's a big reason why where it is right now.
The other guy I'm curious about is C.J. Smith. Why was he scratched? And when you get a guy like that up from Rochester, why not just let him play a handful of games and see what he can do?
Well, I really like C.J.'s game. That's part of his development too, where, we had Tage who sat out and, got a reboot, and he came back in the lineup, and just managing our roster at that point. But obviously he'll get an opportunity. I do like where his game was, and that's why we make those decisions.
Phil Housley with us, West Shore Hotline. Tonight it's the Islanders in town. Phil, as always, thanks for giving us some time, and good luck tonight against the Islanders.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Phil joins us every Tuesday at 7:30, and his segment is brought to you by, hang on, I got to find it, Paul William Belts, your power of attorney, and by Fallsview Casino Resort, Niagara Falls, Canada. Also by AXA Advisors. Take the next step for your financial future today. Coming down a little harder now, and actually snowing sideways. I always love when it snows sideways here in Amherst, so please be careful. The roads were slippery this morning. Now the snow's coming down and sticking. In some areas, there was some freezing rain and some ice, and it's going to be kind of a combination of things throughout the course of the day. So if you're just heading out, leave it a little extra time. Might have to do a little scraping, but be careful on the roads, because it might be rather slippery, not just from the snow, but from potential ice and other issues that are happening this morning on your drive-in. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Weinerline call of the day in a moment. Paul Hamilton, top of the hour. Sal's here in studio with us till 9 on WGR.
Am I the only one that noticed that the Sabres are a small team? Winnipeg's just knocking us around like rag dolls. Even if we make the playoffs, we're not going to last.
Okay, I'm going to go honestly more on Winnipeg as a big team. I mean, how many times this season I haven't felt this way? You can say, hey, they're soft in their own end at times. They need to knock guys down more in front of their own net. But I haven't felt there have been many games this season where you thought, wow, that team is like, the Sabres are getting the snot knocked out of them on a regular basis. Winnipeg is a big team. They've got some big bodies up front. They got some big bodies on defense. Tyler Myers, Dustin Byfuglien. They play the quote-unquote big, heavy game. And so I don't think it's as much about the Sabres as it was about the team they played on Sunday. They're that team. I mean, you didn't feel that way against Detroit or some of the other teams they've played, most of the games they've played this season. That is our Winerline call of the day. I got nothing. I mean, it's snowing, whatever. I got nothing to complain about. I'm really sorry. I did have a quick question for you, because we're going to get hockey coming up at the top of the hour. Sal's here in studio. Paul's going to be with us at 8 o'clock. And I just want to get a quick thought in from you on the Alliance. By the way, congratulations.
The Alliance, that is the name of an episode
the
in The Office.
No, it's the new... Is it really?
Yes. the Alliance.
Was it Dwight with
Dwight
somebody?
And Jim. Okay. Jim tricked him into thinking that they were in some sort of alliance so that he could share information with him.
I'm trying to think. I like the episode. Didn't they trick Dwight into thinking it was Friday or something like
maybe,
that?
Maybe, yeah.
It was the wrong day.
Yes. Yeah, but that is one of an episode of The Office is called The Alliance.
It's one of the very first episodes
yes,
of The Office.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Congratulations. You are the new Alliance of American Football beat reporter at WGR.
Wow. So. Did we get a team suddenly? Where am I going to cover games?
No, you're gonna have to travel. Or actually just watch
that's
the game.
You know what you can watch? Sending me?
You can watch the games on TV from the comfort of your home and write a column.
No, I don't think that's
did you catch any, Mr. Football Guy? Did you catch
anything? I did catch a little bit of it. Here's the thing I think. You know, they talk about the ratings being really good, and that's great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if that'll slow down. Paul Peck and I were at a little function last night together, and Paul's much less optimistic than I think a lot of people. When he sees that, he says, you know, people love NFL football, not really. Do they love football or the NFL? And he said, you know, after a few weeks, the ratings will probably die down a little bit, and the newness will wear off. And he might be right. I'm a little bit maybe more optimistic because here's why. I think from what I've seen, I don't think this league is trying to be someone they're not. And I like that. They're not trying to compete with the NFL, A. They're not trying to be gimmicky, B.
Right.
I went to one of the first ever XFL games back in the day in Orlando.
Speaking of gimmicky.
And it was gimmicky, and it was wrestling on turf. I mean, you know what I mean? It was WWE or WWF, whatever, made into football, which we all know. I mean, and, you know, and it had some interesting stuff in it, but it was more gimmicky, I think, at the end of the day. Whereas it seems like this league is going to try to actually have real football. They have guys who, this is their career, this is their life. This coaches, players, executives, this isn't like, hey, we're starting a football league. This is what we're doing full time for our lives and to put, you know, food on our plates for our families.
I think fans, football fans will watch football. I don't think it's they're only fans of the NFL because you can watch college football all day Saturday because you enjoy watching football. I think the ratings will come down only because there are people like me who tuned in curiosity. Let me see how it looks. Hey, what are the new rules? Look, no kickoffs. Like, I wanted to see what it looked like. That doesn't mean I'm in every week watching the Alliance. I won't. I will say this. I think one of the problems they could have in terms of just being a fan of football and watching it for the sake of loving football, you are going to need scoring. The two games I saw did not have a lot of scoring. And I worry about the level of quarterback play, you know? Because, you know, Christian Hackenberg got a starting job and lost it in his first game. By the end of the game, they changed quarterbacks and said he's not starting anymore. You know, somebody named Mike Berkovich was starting for San Diego. He wasn't very good.
That's the problem I see, the quarterbacks.
The quarterbacks. And if you don't have a quarterback,
they don't have the names.
Yeah. And
or
it's
the good play.
And how, I mean, are you getting touchdowns? Are you getting offense? If you have quarterbacks that just aren't good, it's going to affect your overall product and how it looks on a week-by-week basis. Like Logan Woodside played well for San Antonio. He threw some nice passes. You know, they moved the ball, but even they didn't have an offensive explosion.
But they're supposed to have more conducive rules to help the quarterback.
Yeah, well, there's
blitzing
rules.
And things like that.
You can't blitz from the secondary.
And you can only rush
you
five.
You can't load one
the
side.
Most, I think, something like that.
You can't rush more than five, right.
So you're supposed to help them, but I agree. Right. I think that is the number one issue is, you know, football is a quarterback-driven
And who's quarterbacking?
Sport. Yeah. Who's the quarterback? Yeah, maybe they come up with these great plays here or there that you can watch on highlight reels, but you got to know who the quarterback is.
I wonder, real quick, because I know we got to get to the break. Could you somehow get, is there a way to turn it into kind of like what NFL Europe try to do at times? Could you get guys that are practice squad guys that don't play in the NFL during the regular season? I know you're eating into their offseason, and they got to be ready for OTAs.
Well,
could you get them to play
that's
in
actually
this
the point. That's actually the point that Paul made to me last night when we were together, and he said that's what killed the Europe, world football, right?
Which, World League of American Football or
which
NFL
is
Europe,
that,
whatever
that
it was.
Even though there were some NFL guys going over there, the NFL basically said, we don't want guys over there. They need to be in our facility training with our coaches and our training staff.
Right.
I think that's a tough sell. I think that's tough. The NFL now, I mean, you got guys that the minute your offseason ends, here's your plan. This is where you need to be when you need to be there.
You're back in our facility after the draft because OTA starts.
And we want you under our thumb, under our watchful eyes, with all the money we're paying you. Got to keep the maintenance and on and off the field, what you're doing. I think it'd be a tough sell to have them go and off and play in another league with other people.
Okay. That's the only thing I was thinking. Is there any way? And I don't even know if that works for the quarterback discussion. I was thinking like a guy like Peterman playing in that league, but he was playing in the NFL. And I don't know if teams would just say, take our second string or third string quarterback.
The minute a guy gets hurt,
you're screwed. Well, you're not screwed.
But well, the minute a guy gets hurt, you're
going to
say,
guys getting hurt.
You're going to say, that's why we're not doing this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. I think that's their biggest issue. Because it's like watching a college game. I mean, there are plenty of college games on Saturday, not including like Alabama and Clemson, where you go, all right, it's okay. It's okay football. But
most people have college football has been around so long, they have either an allegiance
identify.
Or
sure.
They know about, you know, I mean, right. they might like SEC football.
Right.
This is so new, you don't. People are still trying to pick a team in this thing. Like, who am I going to pick? Yeah. I asked Max. I said, Max, which logo do you like the best? He said, which one do you? I'm like, no, I'm not asking. I'm asking you, man.
I'm going to root for the team that has the most former Bills. There were three in the game the other day. I can't remember who was on which side, though. Anyway, all right, Sal is here, 803-0550. We got some hockey to get to. Paul is going to join us in just a moment. We'll get you ready for tonight's game against the Islanders. You can check out our Furry Fan of the Week. It is back for you at WGR550.com. This week's Furry Fan, we found out earlier, is Linda the Cat. We know is there a type of cat? I'm not a cat owner. Is there a clarification? Are there different kinds of cats?
She looks like a tiger cat.
It's a cat that purrs. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay. So Linda is our Furry Fan of the Week. You can find that at WGR550.com. Our Furry Fan of the Week is brought to you by, you know what I like? I like the pictures of the pets that we used to get wearing like Bills and Sabres stuff. So I look forward to that. Furry Fan
Linda's,
of the Week.
Linda's got a nice little Sabres puck right in front
Does
of her.
Does she? She's not wearing like an Eichel jersey though, huh?
No.
Okay. Furry Fan of the Week brought to you by DeLacy Ford. First for Ford, first for pets.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.